Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this morning comes from the gospel lesson, especially the parable of the visiting friend. Jesus said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything.'" This is our text. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, that line at the end of the movie Jerry Maguire is totally spot on. "You complete me." That is the secret to a happy marriage. When a husband and wife complement each other, when they add to each other, when they make each other better, they complete each other. I know in my marriage, Jan is the planner in the family, and I'm not. So she completes me. And Jan has the tendency to worry, probably a little bit too much, which is good because I don't worry about anything at all. And so together we worry just the right appropriate amount. And so again, she completes me. She tends to be a night owl and can stay up playing on her iPad till 2 or 3 in the morning. Or she can pull an all-nighter to get a batch of cookies done for a friend, while I really need to be in bed by about 8 o'clock, and I'm a morning person who, for some reason, every once in a while just wakes up at 4 a.m. for no reason. And so, yes, finally, she completes me. We took a test at one time, a personality test, and we were almost exact opposites of one another. And so, yes, we do complete each other. Well, because I'm not a night owl, I can totally relate with this lesson for today. Once I am all snuggled up in bed, it's going to take literally a phone call from somebody in the hospital to get me out of bed again. Once I'm in bed, don't bother me. If you come knocking on my door asking for a loaf of bread because a friend is visiting you, I'm going to send you to Pick and Save or Walmart. And I think that's the way most of us are. I don't care if you're my best friend. I'm not going to get up and cook you a meal after 8 p.m., let alone in the middle of the night. But in Jesus' day, things were different. There was a huge cultural difference between us and the people who originally were reading Luke's gospel. And to really understand our text for today, you need to understand that cultural difference. You see, back in those days, if a friend or a stranger came to you in the middle of the night, it was not only your responsibility to take care of him and feed him and give him a warm place to stay. It was the responsibility of the whole neighborhood, of the whole village to do so. So you see, Jesus' audience would have realized that this guy in bed with his family was being absolutely, totally ridiculous. If somebody in Jesus' day came pounding on your door, asking for help and caring for a visitor, he would have bounded out of bed to find the necessary items to make that stay comfortable. Or he would have brought shame upon himself and his family and the whole neighborhood and village. It just seems strange to us because that's just not the culture we're in. But back then, that was what was expected. We had the saying today that it takes a village to raise a child. Well, back then, the saying would have been, it takes a village to host a visitor in the middle of the night. I bring this up to get the message of the lesson of this parable across to you. to understand what Jesus was trying to get across, to try to understand the culture of, to get across what Jesus was trying to say, we have to understand the culture of Jesus' day. And it also helps to understand the characters in the parable. Who is this visiting friend, and who is this host, and who's the neighbor? Well, I think it's safe to say that we are the visiting friend. We are the one who comes in the middle of the night, and we need a place to stay, and we need something to eat. And so that means that the host and the neighbor being woke up in the middle of the night is none other than God himself. That means that it is God who plays the host. God is the one who is generous. God is the one who is taking care of the visitor so that his visit is pleasant. More than anything else, this parable teaches us how generous and caring God is. Our text for today teaches us so much about God and how we communicate with him in prayer. Jesus had been praying in a certain place, and the disciples saw him praying and asked him to teach them how to pray. Well, Jesus not only teaches them what has come to be known as the Lord's Prayer, but he goes on to teach them about the generosity of God. Jesus shows them that we can go to God at any time, even in the middle of the night, to ask for what we need. In fact, looking at the context and the culture of the day, Jesus shows his audience that God would be totally shamed if he were to refuse to get out of bed to care for that guest. From their point of view, the reaction of the guy in bed with his family would have been totally outrageous. It was so far out of the norm of their lifestyle. Once the knock on the door came, he would have leaped out of bed, no matter how many kids he had in bed with him. The integrity of the village, the reputation of his friend, the honor of the whole entire village rested on the hospitality given to the visitor. So yes, our God is a gracious God. He is a loving God. He is a generous God who knows how to take care of his children. While we are sinful and we rebel against God at every turn, and we do not deserve for God to take such good and gracious care of us, he still does. Simply put, God is our Father, and he loves us. As Jesus starts to teach the Lord's Prayer to his disciples, he does so by addressing God as Father. He doesn't use the term Lord. He doesn't use the word Sir. He doesn't address God as Almighty and Everlasting God. When it comes to the Lord's Prayer, Jesus uses the word Father. And by doing this, he assures us that we are in the same relationship with God as he is. God is Jesus' Father, and God is our Father. And just as Jesus has a close, personal, intimate relationship with the Father, we have a close, personal, intimate relationship with the Father. That's the whole reason why the Father provides for us and cares for us and sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Because we are important and we are valuable to our God who is our Father. We are his children, adopted at our baptism, and washed clean of all of our sin. And as we worship, as we spend time in prayer, as we read and study his word, as we receive the body and blood in the sacrament of the altar, we are brought closer and closer to God as our Father. So much so that Jesus promises, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. And to make sure that we stay in a close personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, Jesus says at the end of our text, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, who is tasked with the job of keeping us close to our Father, assuring us of our forgiveness, and guaranteeing us a place in heaven. I began by talking about how good spouses complement each other. Being the opposite in a relationship can be a good thing. Well, as it turns out, we are the complete opposites of God. He is almighty and all-powerful, and we are weak and vulnerable. He is perfect and holy in every way, and we are sinful and unclean. And yet through that Holy Spirit, we have a close, personal, and intimate relationship with our Father. To be sure, more than anyone else, God completes us and who we are. For without Him, we are incomplete and we have a hole in our lives. But with God in our lives have meaning and we are made whole again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the peace of God